Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Like a battlefield.
There's a battle for the soul of America.
We can't let him tear the kingdom down.
This is no game. This is war.
Flesh and blood, but it's between the bad and good. We can't stop until the trumpet sounds. This is war. Not a game we're playing. This is a war.
The only question is, which side will you be on? It's time now for a call to decision with Pastor Butch Paul.
Satan's armies come to kill. This is war.
Hello, my folks, and welcome. This is Pastor Butch Paul. It is the 27th day of July, the last week of July. Can you believe that? I mean, my goodness, the month's gone by so fast. But anyway, this is Pastor Butch. We're back here with you live tonight. Thank you all so much for praying for me last week. I was in the hospital from last Tuesday evening till this past Wednesday evening. And thank y'all for praying for me, for the cards, for the phone calls, the faith checking on me. I mean that, folks. I'll get some time more detail about what went on and ask you what a blessing it was to be in that spot, in the hospital. An old song come to mind, used to be on the radio many years ago, sung by Burl Ives. It's a song entitled Brighten the Corner Where You Are. And I was in the hospital for a purpose. Got to witness to lots of people and talk about being treated like royalty, Mark and I both were. But anyway, I'll tell you about that later on. But thank you for your prayers. Hopefully, you're back on track here and for a little while again. But when you get some years on you like I have, folks, anything can happen. I'm actually praying for the Lord if it's his will to show me a replacement to try to do what I'm doing when I leave this program one day. So far, nothing's turned up, but I know my days are doing it limited. It's been almost 34 years now, and I'm almost 78 years old, so things are going to change. Before going, though, don't forget we're going to have Bible study this weekend. I want you to join us, please. You can join us, but watch us live on the internet by going to PastorButch.com and clicking on Rumble. It starts at 10:30 a.m. Eastern. PastorButch.com and click on Rumble, and there will be. Now, if you can't get on the internet, just call this number, 339-209-5013. And we're going to do something special this weekend. Of course, as always, we're going to have the half hour of a prayer request and praise reports. And we're going to have an hour of a Christian worldview news, as always. But then we're going to have an hour with you calling in and sharing with us. Phil mentioned this. I thought it was a great idea. I want an hour of open discussion of miracles that happen in your lives, maybe our lives, all of us. I want an open hour for you to share the miracles that you've seen in your lives. No matter what it's been, no matter how minor it may seem to you, this coming Saturday, be prepared to call in and share your miracles. And that's important. I've never done it before. Very seldom do we have such an informal teaching or an informal sharing. But you're welcome this weekend to join us and share your please information with us. We want to hear from you. And don't forget, I started offering a special on a couple of documents last week, week before last, before I got laid up for a few days. Two very important articles one entitled the War Powers Act. Franklin Roosevelt, now folks, I'm not making this up. I will never tell you something isn't true. I can prove it to you. A document about 40 pages long or so called the War Powers Act that explains how Roosevelt made every citizen in the United States a criminal of the federal government. Now, I'm not making it up. The War Powers Act did that. And we're going to see another along with it on the truth of Pearl Harbor. What really happened at Pearl Harbor? Were we really surprised by the attack? I say we. I mean, our government leaders. No, they were not. We were, obviously. I wasn't here then, but people and the citizens were surprised, but Roosevelt was not surprised by it. If I told you that was pre-planned, like y'all laugh at me. So I'm going to show you the proof. About 60 pages of material, just enough pay for shipping and copying, $29.95. If you want to make copies, share with your friends, you can. But people get to understand how we got where we are. We've been deceived in so many wars, including World War II, Korean War, Vietnam, Iraq, and now Iran. It's all been planned and schemed up by leaders that want to make money. And as General Smedley Butler said, war is a racket. It's about money. So these are things you can have and share with your friends. If I can offer the truth and offer you a chance to be a teacher to somebody else. But the old saying is you can take a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. Well, if you don't want it, don't get it. They're available. You can give a call on 800-777-4403. If you can call long distance, please call our toll line at 304-846-4448. 304-846-4448. And just tell Faith to order that for $29.95. We'll get it out to you. Anything else you may want to order from us, we offer here the Strauss products, the vitamin toothpaste, mouthwash, any books, anything we have. All you have to do is call and ask, okay? If you want to talk to me, leave a message. I will call you back, and I mean that. Now that I'm back home and kind of regrouping a little bit, I feel fine. No pain, really no pain of any kind. I was blessed with that. I still feel a little bit weak because I lay in the hospital for eight days. It just wears your body down to nothing. And I'm trying to rebuild some strength and get back on my feet, but I'm doing very well. Thank you again for your prayers, okay? Now, our guest tonight. I'm glad she's patient. Her name is Kimberly Overton. She is a nurse. I'm gonna let her tell her whole bio. She's come out in public with her own radio show and a guest on other programs, telling the truth about vaccines in general, especially with the COVID vaccine. What did the people? How we got tricked into it, and what they're still doing to people with this nonsense that the country and world was tricked into doing, and many of them forced into doing it. But anyway, our guest is Kimberly Overton. Kimberly, are you there?
Yes, sir. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. You're more than welcome. And I mean that. And thank you for your courage.
Thank you.
I mean, you're still in the health field and you stand up and saying this. I admire you for that. I really do. And thank you for doing that because the truth, Kimberly, is trying to get out to the people. But the sad part, and I mean this, and it's really sad, the masses don't want to hear it.
No, they really don't. You know, not everybody has eyes to see and ears to hear, unfortunately. But I think it's important information that we get it out there.
I agree.
And, you know, as a nurse, and I've said this from the very beginning, like if we as nurses are not standing in the gap for these patients, like who is going to stand for them? So it's been really important to me. This is something I take very seriously.
Amen. Well, all people in the health field should take it seriously.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I'd say a lot more of them know the truth, but not very many are willing to tell the truth. Their jobs could depend on it. But yeah. You're one of the rare ones. But before we get started on that, tell the people who you are.
Sure. So again, my name is Kimberly Overton. I am a registered nurse. I've been in healthcare for 30 years. And I was working as a critical care nurse during COVID back in 2020 when all of this kind of insanity started to come down the pike. I had already been in healthcare for quite some time. So it was really interesting to me the way that it started. I remember it very vividly. It was right around 2020. Things just started to not really add up. We had all of these policies and procedures that were coming down and constantly changing. It was complete chaos. one of the things that really started to kind of pique my interest was our infection control policies. They would have us wearing the same N95 masks. If you remember those masks.
Oh, yes. A bunch of nonsense.
Yeah, it was absolutely complete insanity. But prior to COVID, infection control policies would have had us donning and doffing PPE inside the room. We would never wear the same N95 mask throughout our entire shift, throughout the entire hospital. But they had us doing that. They had us wearing this same mask. They would give us three masks. Typically, a nurse will work three 12-hour shifts. They would give us three masks, one for each night that we worked. And we would wear that same mask from our COVID patient rooms to our non-COVID patient rooms. And again, prior to COVID, you know, infection control policies never would have allowed anything like that. So right out of the gate, things just didn't really make sense to me. It seemed to me, you know, infection control 101, we were giving everybody COVID. And people were under this really false assumption that we had these separate wings for COVID patients. That wasn't the case. I was in a 20-bed ICU and we had some COVID patients and some non-COVID. But by the time we were done, you know, gallivanting all over the hospital in our mask, we pretty much gave it to everybody. And to me, that seemed intentional.
Well, I had no doubt about it. But I've got to ask this. How many cases were misdiagnosed on purpose?
I'm certain many or, you know, many of them. I will say this. We started seeing what we would later determine was COVID. Really, prior to 2020, I would say as far back as September of 2019, we were seeing patients come in with a respiratory virus that just went, it was just different. We knew something was different about it. If you remember that far back, a lot of times they were trying to blame it on the vaping. They were saying it was all these people that were vaping and they were having these strange respiratory issues. But we were seeing patients come in respiratory distress. They were requiring ventilation. They were requiring it for a lot longer than we typically see a patient on a vent. Typically, they'll be, you know, 2-3 days, maybe we wean them off of it. But these people were requiring ventilation, mechanical ventilation for a lot longer. I mean, I'm talking 10 days plus sometimes. And at settings that we were just not used to seeing.
Now, what was that dangerous, intentional? Yeah. What I mean, was it done? And I don't want to. Well, was it done to kill the patients? And did hospitals get bonuses for it?
So yeah, if you follow the money, yes, there was a lot of financial incentives, and people didn't understand that. If you, depending on the state that you lived in, from test to toe tag, you get your COVID test. It comes back positive. You now have a bounty on your head, as far as I'm concerned. Because people didn't understand, depending on the state that you lived in, you could get as much as almost $500,000 per COVID admission. But you had to follow these protocols to the T, and meaning you had to put them, if you put them on a ventilator, I can't remember the exact amount, but I believe it was about $36,000 if they were on the ventilator.
Why the bonus for that? What was the reason? Why were you paying that money for extra?
Your guess is as good as mine. That was my question. Why is the government financially incentivizing the use of ventilators or the use of medications? So what was happening, we saw, back to the ventilator really quickly, you know, they initially would give you the bonus of $36,000, I believe, when you place the patient on a ventilator. If you kept that patient on the ventilator for 96 hours or more, that payout was even higher. I can't remember the exact numbers. But they would get more money. But they also financially incentivized the medication that was considered the number one treatment for COVID, which was remdesivir.
Yes, very dangerous drug. Go ahead.
Very dangerous. Yeah, very dangerous. So if you're familiar, remdesivir at the time was being used under an emergency use authorization. So they were placing these people and they were saying, oh, well, it's emergency use authorization. If you went back to the Ebola trials of 2008, you would have seen that remdesivir killed 54% of the study participants in that Ebola trial. Had they led with that information, I feel like many people wouldn't have signed that consent form for this emergency use authorization. All of a sudden, it pops back up in 2020, and it becomes the number one treatment for COVID. But here's my problem with it, and this is when I started asking questions. If you understand how antivirals work, they rely on some form of viral replication in order to be effective. Now, if you remember, when patients were coming into hospitals, into the ER and all of that with COVID, they were saying, oh, okay, you have COVID. It's okay. Go home. Don't do anything. Just come back when you can't breathe. Or, you know, better known as mm-hmm. when you're a prime candidate for a ventilator, right? By the time that these patients were coming back to us in the hospitals, they were already well past their replication phase of the virus. So it was too late to give them that medication. It wasn't going to do them any good. So I started asking the question, why are we continuing to give this medication? It was clearly doing more harm than good. We know from the previous studies that it had an increase in mortality, a decrease in renal function. So why were we continuing to use this medication, number one protocol for COVID patients, when it was number one going to be ineffective and number two extremely dangerous? We were shutting down people's organs. Nobody was dying of COVID in these hospitals. They were dying of the complete and total medical.
All right, now that's a very important point. Remdesivir was shutting down their organs. The drug was killing them.
Absolutely. Think and ask yourself this one question. And this is, I just like to ask people thought provoking questions. And this is my favorite one to ask. Why is it that patients were only dying in the hospital? If it were the virus itself, if it was just COVID, the virus killing all of these people, then why are we not pulling bodies out of homes? Why were we not pulling bodies off of the streets? Think about your homeless population who weren't getting any kind of treatment at all. Those people weren't dying. We weren't pulling bodies out of anywhere except for hospitals. That was the only place that anyone was dying. And it was because these protocols reigned supreme there, right? So it was putting them on the remdesivir, then ventilator. It was remdesivir, ventilator, death. Wash, rinse, repeat. It was just over and over again. It was a never-ending assembly line of death.
Well, did doctors, that you know of, any doctors or other nurses catch on to that? I mean, were you kind of a lone wolf out there? I mean, did anybody else catch on to it?
I wouldn't say I was a lone wolf. I know that other people kind of started asking questions. I probably was one of the very few who was very vocal about it. I would ask doctors, I would argue with doctors in the bedside, because one of the most egregious things that I saw during this time wasn't even just the use of the remdesivir, but it was the unnecessary intubation. So you don't ventilate a patient unless they are in like respiratory failure. This is not just like a procedure that you do, willy nilly. You don't do it. It comes with a lot of risks. So we knew that 80% of the patients that we placed on a ventilator were never going to make it off, but they were pushing for early intubation, not as a way to save the patient, but as a way to contain the virus. They were saying, if you understand how a ventilator works, it's a closed loop system. Once you place a patient on a ventilator, the virus is no longer being disseminated into the air. So they were doing this as a way to protect healthcare workers, which never made sense to me because we had already been exposed to the virus by that point.
Well, now, did doctors catch on to this at all? Did anybody question this move?
I questioned it frequently, and I would ask the doctors, and they would, and we had one that would say all the time, he was like, early intubation is the key to fighting COVID and stopping the spread. And I would argue with him. I said, no, it's early treatment, because we knew absolutely that medications like ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine were safe and effective and affordable medications. But if you understand how emergency use authorizations work, and if you remember when the vaccine rolled out, it did roll out under an EUA. If there is another alternative, such as ivermectin or hydroxychloroquine, that could potentially work, then they could not have rolled the vaccine out. So they had to demonize those medications. If you remember, they were calling it horse paste.
Absolutely.
Ivermectin's been around for 3 decades, safely used in humans.
And it's been a marvelous drug for a lot of different reasons, But now, so obviously this was a conspiracy. I mean, you can't deny it from the people in charge, Fauci right on down and up, even Trump. This was a conspiracy for whatever purpose they had other than maybe in population control. And maybe it was a way to see how far they could push people and how much fear could control them. and have them do things that normally they wouldn't do, like taking this untested jab, and do it because they were scared. This obviously was a test for a reason. But with all this happening, whenever you were involved in this and trying to expose all this, how did you handle that?
Yeah, it was really difficult. Like I said, I would argue with the doctors at the bedside, and I would say, you know, why it was stupid things. Like they said that ibuprofen was contraindicated in COVID patients. So it was as if we were doing, I mean, it's a respiratory virus, right? The virus is a virus, but we do things to mitigate damage, right? Inflammation, we use anti-inflammatories, we use steroids. They wouldn't allow us to use any of these things. So it was like we were just leaving these patients there to die. We were doing nothing to mitigate the damage of the virus. Then we were giving them these very dangerous drugs like remdesivir. We were putting them on the ventilators at settings that were basically blowing out their lungs, shutting down their organs, and their bodies are filling with fluid. Their lungs are filling with fluid. And they were dying. Over and over again, despite all of our best efforts, all of our patients were dying. And I'm not talking about old and frail and elderly patients with a ton of comorbidities. I'm talking about young and otherwise healthy patients that were coming into us with this virus. And again, not dying of COVID, but dying of this cascade of events that led to their untimely demise.
Well, did any of the family members who were not allowed in, obviously?
No, nobody was allowed in.
Did any family members question the doctors and that maybe had some knowledge about it, and question doctors why is this not being done? Or did anybody protest it?
It was really difficult. At that time, like, family wasn't allowed in, which I think as nurses, I think we failed as a profession, because I feel like we should have stood up the moment that they told us our patients couldn't have an advocate at their side. We should have stood up and said, absolutely not, no. And I felt like we could have stopped so much more of this. But again, as a profession, we failed. But so family wasn't allowed in there. Even phone calls, because it was so chaotic and busy, there was not a whole lot of communication, unfortunately, with the family members and the doctors. We couldn't even get them on the unit. We couldn't even get them on the floor. They were relying on nursing assessments, because they'll tell you otherwise, but they were afraid to come on the floor.
And the reason being?
I think they were afraid of COVID. I mean, many of these doctors are very indoctrinated. Like some of them, and that's the thing. You have to start asking yourself, are they complicit in the lie, or do they just not know any better when they should? And, you know, I leave it to you to decide which one of those scenarios is more frightening to you. Yeah.
So they were actually afraid of COVID. Mm-hmm. A lot of them knew the truth, but they went along and played the game. The hospital's getting wealthy off of it, and that's a fact. That's a taxpayer's expense. Mm-hmm. People were dying. They weren't even that sick. And in your estimate, what you've seen, how many people died under false pretenses, same as COVID?
The numbers are probably astronomical. I worked in a 20-bed ICU unit during this time. I worked for 18 months until I couldn't take it anymore. I had to walk away. I resigned from my position at the bedside because I could not watch one more of my patients needlessly die. Not when I knew there were safe and effective treatments available and everything that I knew, I just couldn't do it any longer. But during that time, that 18-month stretch, I can literally only remember two patients that survived.
Two patients.
I remember two that came off of the ventilator. Once they were placed on that ventilator, it was typically game over. And there was an 80% chance, which we knew going in. So we were, in effect, signing their death warrant with every unnecessary intubation that we did.
And how much were you pressured to get the jab and follow procedure?
Oh God. Yeah. I didn't get, first of all, I did not get it. I am not vaccinated. Let me say that.
Well, how'd you escape that, by the way? But anyway, first tell me how you escaped it, then tell me how much pressure you were under.
Well, a ton of pressure. So it was really interesting when I started the organization Nurse Freedom Network, when the vaccine mandate started coming down. I knew it was unconstitutional. I knew we had to say something, because all of the nurses and doctors, everybody was getting fired for not taking this jab. It started out at most of the hospitals that like received nonprofit facilities and ones that received federal dollars. They started there first. I worked for HCA, which is the largest for-profit hospital corporation in America. They were one of the last ones to actually mandate it. But I saw it happening to, you know, other friends of mine. And that's why I started Nurse Freedom Network, to take a stand against that medical tyranny, because that's exactly what it was. We started protesting at local hospitals. I went out there with a sign, literally a sign and a bullhorn, and started protesting. I started gathering other nurses, and it really quickly grew into a national movement. People all across this country protesting. Now, I just said no. I drew my hard line in the sand, and I said, I'm not getting this. I didn't. And it wasn't that I even at the time really thought anything nefarious was going on. To me, it just seemed really rushed, and there was a newer technology, and I did not feel comfortable getting this newer technology for myself. So I said, you know, if somebody wants to get it, that's great, but I just don't feel comfortable. And the more that they pressured me, the more that I started to realize something wasn't right here. But I was willing to leave my job. If they were going to fire me, I was not going to leave on my own. I was going to allow them to fire me. But it did not come to that. I ended up leaving my job at the bedside just because of everything that I was seeing, all of the death I was seeing. It just got to be too much for me. It had not been mandated at that point. When I started working from home. I was a telephone triage nurse, and I thought that would be a good alternative for me, get me away from the bedside. You know, for a while it was, but again, I started becoming uncomfortable again with protocols that were being used. We were actually given a scripted that the COVID vaccine was safe and effective. We actually had a scripted answer to give them that said the COVID vaccine is safe and effective.
So they demand that you tell a lie.
Exactly. And I refused, because there would be no, we couldn't not make such a statement. We had no data. We had, you know, no long-term safety data to be able to make such a statement. And the short-term data that we were seeing was alarming, to say the very least. I worked on this triage line, and I would get the phone calls, and I was keeping my own data. People that were calling, I'm talking again, young, healthy, 18, a lot of 18 to 35 year old ish males would call in, and they were having the heart issues. They were having chest pain. They were having heart attacks.
And this is after the jab?
After the jab. Yes, sir. Wow. We were seeing just all of these heart attacks, strokes, blood clots, GI bleeds in populations you would not expect to see them in. Paralysis, all of these things that we were seeing. And I'm talking within hours to days of getting the vaccine. So again, I'm just like, okay, we've got to stop. I was horrified that with everything that I was seeing in my small little area of the world, that nobody was doing anything about.
Hang on to the break, please, sweetheart. Hang on to the break. A lot more talk about folks, your phone calls. What a powerful witness. 717-300 1698.
Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of fallen men.
Hi, folks. Pastor Butch Paul here. I'm certain that I don't need to tell y'all we're living in unstable times, or as the Bible says, perilous times. We're starting to see shortages of many products in America, cars, clothing, furniture, and even food. We can't do much about the cars, clothing, and furniture, but we can with the food, simply by calling Demand of Foods, the best in store foods, bar none. They have a shelf life of over 25 years, are great tasting, no GMOs, no chemical preservatives, no aspartame or high fructose corn syrup, and no MSGs. Give Demand a call at 888-597-0775. That's 888-597-0775, or go to Namana.com. Mention the Pastor Butch sent you and get a 10% discount. That's 888-597-0775. You'll be glad you did.
Hi there, and thank you so much for listening. This is Summer. I'm owner and operator here at Superior Mountain Herbs. Please visit us at www.superiormountainherbs.com. You can always call or text 406 274-7579. We'd be happy to assist you with any of your health and wellness needs, whether you're currently combating serious disease and infection like cancer, or you're just simply looking to keep your body in great shape and maintain what God has already given you. You can visit us and we would absolutely love to help you. Once again, visit us at www.superiormountainherbs.com or give us a call at 406-274-7579 to get your hands on some of the most incredible handcrafted, organic, and wildcrafted supplements on the planet. superiormountainherbs.com.
Hello, folks. Pastor Butch here. A lot of y'all are asking me to give our address out on the air, and I never take time during the interviews, but here's our address. If you want to write to us, send us a letter, say hello, or place an order, or whatever you want to do, our address is simple. It's Pastor Butch Paul, P-A-U-G-H, or call to Decision Ministries. The address is 224 Hurd, that's spelled H-U-R-D, 224 Hurd Road, Netty, N-E-T-T-I-E, West Virginia, 26681. 224 Hurd Road, Netty, West Virginia, 26681. There you go. Thanks a lot.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
This is war, not a game we're playing. This is a war. Brothers, hear me what I'm saying. Pick up your sword and shield. Get on the battlefield. Satan's armies come to kill.
Folks, we are back. We're going to talk to Kimberly Overton, the most powerful testimony I think I've heard so far, on a healthcare worker trying to expose the lies of the COVID scam and sharing the truth she knew about people who actually died because they were in the hospital. 80% of those put on the ventilators died. 8 out of 10 died. That was not an accident. The hospitals were paid to put them on, paid even more when they died. This, my friends, was a planned, premeditated murder of millions of Americans and millions of people all over the world. And they're still dying from it. Now, we got calls coming in. The phone line's open, folks. 717-300-1698. Get the phone call just in a few minutes. Now, you're still seeing deaths and results of the COVID jab, and they're still giving the jab. Are people becoming a little wiser to this? Are they starting to turn it down now, finally? What are you seeing in that line? Yeah,
I think so. I think people are starting to wake up. I mean, I don't know, what are we on, like the 16th booster? I think people are really starting to understand that this was a scam from the very beginning. Although there are still some who are lining up and rolling their sleeves up. Worse than that is that they are rolling their children's sleeve up. And that was really the line in the sand for me, was when they wanted me to recommend this for children. Understanding that children had a 99.9815% survival rate against COVID. So to me, wanting to vaccinate these children with those kind of statistics, it was absurd, but it should have been criminal.
And I
would go further to say that any medical professional, whether that be a physician, a nurse, or otherwise, who even uttered the word safe and defective in the absence of clinical safety data, they should be brought up on criminal charges and stripped of their licensure. And I believe that wholeheartedly.
Are you seeing a lot of increases of disease in children too? I mean, I'm talking about 5, 8, 10, 12 years old since this.
you know, I don't really work in pediatrics. I'm actually a hospice nurse now, but I do see a lot more younger people who are dying of these really aggressive cancers that we've seen pop up in the last few years. I mean, obviously cancer has been around for a long time, but the uptick that we have seen is very alarming. And the aggressiveness of the cancers that we have seen is very alarming.
From your personal experience, how many people do you think were put in the hospital diagnosed with COVID that didn't have COVID that died from supposed COVID?
Well, there's a difference of dying with COVID and dying of COVID.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And I'll say this, because if you remember, I think it was Biden that was talking about the pandemic of the unvaccinated.
Right. Yes.
So that is an absolute lie. And let me tell you why. Because if you remember, when you would get the vaccine, it was a two-shot series, right? But you were not considered fully vaccinated until 2 weeks following or 14 days following your second shot. So what was happening was people would get their first shot, then they would get COVID either, you know, in spite of it or because of it, who knows, but they would get hospitalized, they would get placed on these protocols, and they would ultimately die. But all of those deaths were being listed as unvaccinated because, again, there was no category for partially vaccinated or, you know, nothing like that. So if they only got one shot, then got sick, then got hospitalized, and then died from the protocols, those were all being marked as unvaccinated deaths, which was not accurate.
Wow. Man, they played that like a fiddle, didn't they? I mean, they did that very well.
Yeah.
So you're still, of course, working in the health field. Are they still pushing vaccines like that in the hospitals themselves?
Oh, yes. Yeah, they're pushing vaccines everywhere. You can't go anywhere without the propaganda, the vaccine propaganda, whether it's walking into Walgreens or, you know. And it's interesting. I did not come into this fight anti-vax. Right. I had received all of my vaccines. My child had received all of his vaccines. I didn't come in as an anti-vaxxer. I'm sure as hell leaving that way, because now I've actually done the research. But it's really interesting, because as a nurse, you know, we learn about medications and all of the side effects and all of the ways that it can affect you. But with vaccines, for some reason, it was really different. We always just implicitly trusted them.
Yeah, we did. We did. I mean, we grew up in the 50s. I started with the polio vaccine. They give you a shot first, and they give you a sugar cube. When I went in the Air Force, they jabbed you every other day with something. I mean, that's just the way it was. We accepted them because we trusted, what a stupid statement, trusted the government. I mean, that's how ignorant we were. We were the good guys. They were the good guys. They were there here to help us and make us healthy and strong. That's how ignorant we were and still are, mostly as a population in this country. We still trust them way too much, and we're paying for it.
Well, and it's interesting, because in nursing school, we don't receive any education on vaccines. And I'm talking none at all, except for that say that the entire narrative is safe and effective, and here's the vaccine schedule. That's the entire scope of education that we receive as nurses. Doctors, you'd be surprised to know, receive little more than that. So that we're just kind of implicitly trusting. And I always felt like that these people in the medical field, who at one time I actually believed were really ethical people, right? They really cared for people. Otherwise, why would they get into this field? I always just assumed that they were doing their due diligence. When I started to kind of, you know, COVID really opened my eyes to a lot. And when I started to do the research and dig into it, I was horrified by what I found, that there were no randomized double-blind placebo trials on any vaccines. Those don't exist. So that's those were things.
Now repeat that. That's important. Repeat that.
Yeah. There are no randomized double-blind placebo vaccine trials. So in other words, the vaccine is not being tested against a placebo. It's being tested against another vaccine, because they felt like it would be unethical to deny a person a vaccination. So there's been no real control group there. So that was something I didn't know. I wasn't aware of that.
I didn't either, but we found out later that the polio vaccine was really kind of a farce also, but only time getting that night, and it caused diseases also.
Yeah.
Found that out later. Cancer and everything else.
and we can dig deeper. We don't have that much time, I'm sure, but we could dig deeper into all of the pharmaceuticals that are causing all of these different, you know, disease. I've actually come to the point where I feel like we're all vaccine injured on some level. We just
haven't
connected the dots. But think about all of the chronic illness that we have in this country and the instances of ADHD and autism and all of these neurological disorders, all of the autoimmune conditions that we have. These are likely related to vaccines in one form or another, whether it be a flu shot, the MMR, all of these different things. But we're so conditioned to believe that, you know, these are here to help us and that chronic illness is just part of life.
Everybody listening to this broadcast and many more know that pharmakia, which by the way is witchcraft in the Bible, but they're making billions, actually trillions of dollars of all the medications they have out there. And I do know that back in the 1930s, basically, the Rockefellers cornered the market on drugs, so to speak, and took the natural cures off the market. They used to sell them at the apothecaries. They had natural drugs there, natural cures. They did away with those and brought in drugs because there's money in drugs. You can't patent something on nature, but you can patent something that you can produce yourself. So they treat the symptoms, let the diseases go merrily along the way till our time is up, but they make a fortune on us while they're doing it, don't they?
They do, and they're creating customers. When a doctor, you go see your doctor and you have all of these symptoms, again, which is probably being caused by all of these, I'm not going to say it's only vaccines. There are so many different, it's multifactorial in its environment and all of the other things. I mean, they're coming at us from every angle, whether it be the water that we drink, the food that we eat, the chemicals that they're spraying on everything. So they're coming at us from all angles. We live in an increasingly toxic world. But you go with to the doctor and you give them this laundry list of symptoms and they give you a pill.
Yeah,
and they say, here you go. They don't have any plan to get you off of that pill. They don't have any plan to figure out what is causing your symptoms to begin with. They're not investigating your environment, your occupation, none of these things. They barely ask you what your diet looks like. So they don't get to the root cause of anything. They just mask the symptoms with the pill. I think that's the most depressing part about me working in the ICU and even prior to COVID was that we would see all of these patients come in and we weren't doing anything to get anyone well. We were just managing their symptoms with medication. And then we were sending them home until they would come back and, you know, until their eventual demise. And that hurt my heart. As a nurse, I did not get, that's not what I signed up for. I wanted to help people. I wanted to heal people.
Absolutely.
So it's different now.
Now, how long do you say you've been in the health field?
30 years.
And how long did it take before you started thinking maybe something's not quite right with the health field?
Well, I mean, not long. I mean, I will say this. I will say that I have always understood that hospitals have placed profits over patients. That's always been a thing. And I've known that for a very long time. I've known that the system has been broken for decades. Did I think that they were intentionally murdering patients for profit? No. I did, and that was something that was new to me. In 2020, the scale started falling off of my eyes, and I couldn't believe what I was seeing. And the worst part about it is that, you know, they were using their well-intentioned nurses as part of this plan. And it's something that I cannot work in a hospital because I have just such severe PTSD about it, what I witnessed. And what I saw happening and what I had been a part of for so long without knowing it.
Well, now, what percentage of nurses would you say in your personal opinion and experience are seeing these things?
Well, it's really interesting because I think some do see it and kind of keep their head down because they're afraid of losing their job and all of that. But I think that a lot of nurses, and even when I was still inside, it was more difficult to see. It was easier for me to see the more I backed away from the system and the scales would fall off of my eyes and I could see things more clearly. But as nurses, we compartmentalize a lot. It's a defense mechanism. It is something that we do and we need to do it. It's a coping mechanism and we have to use that in order to do the jobs that we do every day. But I think that this could be some form of compartmentalization and we're not seeing it.
Wow. So would you say half the nurses probably figured out something isn't quite right?
Honestly, no, I would not say half. I think more, unfortunately, the majority of nurses, especially the majority of nurses today, they believe the narrative. And all you need to do is go to any social media, you know, nursing group, and you can see the problem laid bare right there. They follow the mantra that follow the science. It's, or don't question the science, which has always seemed absurd to me because the entire premise of science is a question, right?
Of course. Of course. That's what science is all about.
Exactly. So to listen to people tell me that we can't question the science, that never made sense to me.
That's insane. Well, let's go to phone calls. Running out of time so quickly. Let's talk to Brady in Arizona. Brady, welcome. Come on in. What's on your mind?
Yeah, good evening, folks. Back in Vegas, when the COVID hit back in Vegas, it was horrible. I walked out with the nurses and the doctors. There was like 300-400 of us, and they wouldn't get the jab. So they either had the choice, you get the jab or you lose your job. And a lot of members in my family that work in Vegas, they had to get the jab in order just to keep their job. And what a horrible thing is, they say all the people that got the jab, you never hear one complain or go after, say, I'm going to sue my doctor for what they did to me. You never hear that at any time. It just floors me. But the bad thing about it is, 8 out of 10 got the jab. That leaves one female and one male that can reproduce. And basically, if you've gotten the jab, you can't reproduce. So that leaves one female and one male that are basically pure bloods. And you take that, divide that by two, because not every female is able to reproduce, nor any male. So we're down to 0.5 out of one person on the female side and 0.5 on the male side that's not sterile, and nobody's saying a word about it. It floors me.
That's a good point. That's a good point. But by the way, Kimberly, do you know any nurses that had to get the jab that are suing the hospitals now?
Well, they can't. They can't because of that. The CARES Act and the PrEP Act.
That's right. That's right.
The PrEP Act took all that off of the table. And another interesting fact that a lot of people don't understand, and if you remember why they were pushing it, I told you earlier that children had a 99.9815% survival.
Right, right.
But they pushed the vaccine for children. People don't understand that once a vaccine is placed on the childhood schedule, it then removes liability for all age groups. All age groups. So if anything comes of the vaccine, as long as it's on that childhood schedule, the manufacturers, the hospitals, everybody, they have complete immunity. And that's thanks to the 1986 National Vaccine.
Talk about a racket. Wow.
Oh, absolutely. It absolutely. But to Brady's point, I think that we're not going to really understand all of the ramifications of these for decades. Because if you think about the pregnant women who got them with babies in utero, we don't know how that's going to affect sterility long term. And, you know, we don't know if people are going to be sterile at this point, how that's going to affect fertility. We won't know that for decades. And it's really unfortunate. But we've already seen a lot, enough.
Anything else, Brady?
Well, I just seen the birth rate. They had some statistics out there, and it's already gone down. You know, you think at this time in history that we'd be going up in living the age that we live to. It goes down, and the reason it all went down, you know, everybody's like, nobody's having any babies anymore. Well, nobody's, and everybody's dying at a younger age. Well, what happened within the last 5 years? It's called the COVID death jab, folks. Figure it out.
Very good point. Good call, Brady. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Brady.
Very good point. I'll tell you what. I mean this seriously. I have the most intelligent people listening to this program. Don't know why they listen to me, but I guess they're like guests like you. But it's amazing. It's amazing. Any comments you want to add his statement before we move on?
No, yeah, I just appreciate him calling, and he's absolutely right. And there's not just the declining birth rates, but we saw there's an amazing nurse, Michelle Spencer, that was out in Fresno, California area, who was a whistleblower and started talking about the amounts of stillbirths that she was seeing in the hospitals post-COVID jab. So this has been a real problem and a real issue. And thank God for whistleblowers like Michelle and Dr. James Thorpe out there who was talking about the effects that it had on his patient population as well.
Now you said she saw an increase in what again?
Stillbirths. Miscarriages and stillbirths.
All right. That makes perfect sense with what Brady said. Let's talk to Joe right here in West Virginia. Joe, come on in. Welcome.
Thank you for taking my call, Pastor Butch. One of the things I wanted to mention is that a friend of mine in Montana, at the outbreak of this COVID-19, he worked in the medical field, and he got sick, and they said that he had COVID-19, and he pressed the issue. And they did a blood test, and he found out that he had something called rhinovirus, very similar. And I think they knew that in the beginning. He felt that they knew it, but they wanted to say it was COVID-19. Everything was getting COVID-19. Was there a lot of misdiagnosis for COVID-19 in the early days of it?
Yeah, I believe so. And those PCR tests that they were doing were not very reliable. And even the inventor of the PCR test, you know, said if you spun the test as many times as you did as many cycles, or you can get it to say whatever you wanted. So I think that there are definitely a lot of misdiagnoses. And COVID or coronavirus has been around forever. It's just the common cold. So this was not really something new.
Yeah, well, I remember reading about some things like it was like a rhinovirus, which was very treatable, but they changed the name to COVID, which wasn't treatable.
And, well, COVID's treatable as well. Ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, we were seeing amazing. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so were they counting on people to be really kind of dumbed down with all this? The reason why I say that, because when I got sick, I don't know if they said I really had COVID or not. I don't know if I really did, but... You know, I got a phone call from the county nurse a couple of weeks after I got out of the hospital. And she said, well, you must have been around somebody more than 15 minutes who wasn't wearing a mask. And I thought, well, how can someone say such a stupid statement as that? I mean, are they really that unintelligible to know the truth? Or are they just either saying what they're told to believe? Or do they really know the truth but they don't want us to know? Because 15 minutes around somebody that's not wearing a mask.
That's just insane. That's insane.
Well, the masks didn't work anyway. The masks don't stop transmission of the virus.
No, they don't. Anything else, Joe?
Yeah, one thing I did want to mention, you mentioned, your guest mentioned it too, that my second oldest sister, she's in her 80s now, after she had her booster shot, was right after that she had a stroke. I mean, within a couple of days.
Wow.
So it was happening everywhere. And then learning about the blood veins from mortuaries being like rubber.
Uh-huh.
That's how bad the clotting was.
Yes.
So it was all an experimental thing. And I couldn't understand why people were saying, okay, I'm going to get the jab. It's experimental. Nothing's been proved about it. They're saying it's safe and effective. And yet they're really playing medical roulette.
They are. And this guy's called fear manipulation. Fear works real well.
Exactly.
Well, yeah, it was all psychological warfare being played on the people from the dark side. And we were all playing roulette games. And
the
truth's going to come. And it's not over yet, Butch.
No, it's not.
I don't believe any of this is over with.
It is.
Because sooner or later, they're going to say, okay.
Go ahead.
Well, sooner or later, they can say, hey, we got another virus, got to mask up again.
I'm surprised they haven't done already. I got to jump, Joe, we're in that time, and thanks, Carl. Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Before we go any further, we're down about the last couple minutes here. Tell the folks how they can hear your broadcast.
Sure. Yeah, I do host a radio show on the America Out Loud Talk Radio Network. It's called The Nurses Report. My show airs every Wednesday at 10 a.m. Eastern, and you can find that at AmericaOutLoud.news. And I would love to just tell your listeners really quickly that, you know, I, aside from the advocacy that I was doing with Nurse Freedom Network, I had a larger vision. I really wanted to create an opportunity for not just nurses, but for patients to be able to have some place that they can go with trusted healthcare practitioners. People are becoming increasingly more distrustful of this system, and rightly so. So I created a private membership association. It is called Remnant Healthcare. And we are a community of healthcare practitioners, holistic functional medicine practitioners. We have homeopaths, and we are getting to the root cause of illness, and we are eradicating that. I'm not going to say that we cure cancer at Remnant Healthcare. I'm not making that claim, certainly not. But I will say that we had somebody come to us with stage 4 pancreatic cancer. We got them on a protocol, and they, when they went for their last scan, they are now cancer free. So there are medications and there are things out there that are working for people. But unfortunately, this mainstream medical system, it's poison, cut, burn, and that's
it. Of course, that's where money's at. So what you're saying, you have a group now that actually will consult with people to help them if they call, or how does that work?
Yes, yeah, we have a group of nurses. Our PMA is global. We can see patients virtually all over the world. We also offer advocacy services so that if you are in a situation like people found themselves in with COVID, that you have a professional advocate that understands the complexities of the healthcare system, knows how to navigate that, and will advocate for your best interests.
Well, do you have a phone number people can call to connect with that don't have computers?
I don't have a phone number, but I have, you have the email address. You can do client services at nursefreedomnetwork.org, or our website is remnanthealthcare.org. I guess I should get a phone number.
Yeah, do that if you can. And please email the information. I like putting them on my website.
Yeah.
And also put it in our news magazine, if you don't mind.
Absolutely. I will send you all of the information.
All right, send me an ad made up with it on there, maybe one page ad, full call, 8:30, 11. I'd like to post on a website and put it in a magazine. So this is important. So you're capable now of actually helping people, consult with them, help them cure situations without them having to go see a mainstream doctor.
Right. I tell people we can work alongside of physicians, but more and more people are just not wanting to go.
I understand.
That route where all they give you is pharmaceuticals and 10 more problems. When we're looking at the bigger picture, and all we're right. figuring out what's wrong with you.
Give your website one more time, please.
It's Remnant, R-E-M-N-A-N-T, healthcare.org.
remnanthealthcare.org. Now, please, Kimberly, send me that one-page ad that I can post, okay?
I sure will.
I'll send some aliens to him. Kimberly, thank you so much. This has been intriguing. I didn't like the information necessarily, but I knew it was already right. But yeah. Thanks for having the courage you have, and may we keep in touch and do this again sometime.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome, sweetheart. Have a good night.
You too.
Okay, folks, what can I say? I mean, you heard it right from the horse's mouth, so to speak. Again, and even more detail than anybody that I've ever had on who worked in the situation, who quit working with this situation to help people and get out of this mess. And now they have a way to treat people themselves. So I'm looking forward to get the advertisement. And when I do, I'll be on the website. I'll be in the magazine. And if you don't receive a Minute Man magazine, which we're going out of here this coming Thursday, you're missing the best magazine anywhere that you can get online for free. Email me, pastorbutch@startmail.com. PastorButch@startmail.com and say, I want on the newsletter list. We'll put you on there. We'll put you on the receiver on our email blast that's sent up every day. Folks, we love you. My grace, God, we'll see you tomorrow night with our guest, Molly Seastrom. It'll be a great night tomorrow night, too. God bless and thank you for all your prayers and your concern. I love you a bunch. Bye-bye.
Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of fallen men.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.